From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of this psalm is the Word of God, expressed in a number of different ways. As he expounds the teachings of this psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 14 and verse 10. Friend, go up higher. When first the life of grace begins in the soul, we do indeed draw near to God, but it is with great fear and trembling. The soul, conscious of guilt and humbled thereby, is overawed with the solemnity of its position. It is cast to the earth by a sense of the grandeur of Jehovah in whose presence it stands. With unfeigned bashfulness, it takes the lowest room. But in afterlife, as the Christian grows in grace, although he will never forget the solemnity of his position, and will never lose that holy awe which must encompass a gracious man when he's in the presence of the God who can create or can destroy, yet his fear has all its terror taken out of it. It becomes a holy reverence, and no more an overshadowing dread. He is called up higher, to greater access to God in Christ Jesus. Then the man of God, walking amid the splendors of deity, and veiling his face like the glorious cherubim with those twin wings, the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, will, reverent and bowed in spirit, approach the throne. And seeing there a God of love, of goodness, and of mercy, he will realize rather the covenant character of God than his absolute deity. He will see in God rather his goodness than his greatness, and more of his love than of his majesty. Then will the soul, bowing still as humbly as aforetime, enjoy a more sacred liberty of intercession. For while prostrate before the glory of the infinite God, it will be sustained by the refreshing consciousness of being in the presence of boundless mercy and infinite love, and by the realization of acceptance in the Beloved. Thus the believer is bidden to come up higher, and is enabled to exercise the privilege of rejoicing in God and drawing near to him in holy confidence, saying, Abba, Father. So may we go from strength to strength and daily grow in grace, till in thine image raised at length, we see thee face to face.
Sing glory to the newborn King. He saw the
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of his third message, focusing on Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Dr. Cairns has titled this message, "A Sure Remedy Against Satan's Devices," borrowing from the name of a book by Thomas Brooks, one of the great Puritan writers. In the first part of the message, Dr. Cairns noted that the psalmist had a deep perception of spiritual reality. That is, he knew that Satan was out to destroy believers in any way he can. Then we've seen that the psalmist had a noble purpose. He was determined to live a holy life. He hated sin because he realized that sin is anything that drives a Christian from Christ. Yet, as we've also seen, it's not enough to resolve not to sin. The believer must make preparation to resist the devil's attacks by hiding God's word in his heart. As the Christian absorbs the Bible, he will find that the Scriptures will forewarn him against the wiles of the devil. We at Let the Bible Speak pray that at this Christmas season, your heart will rejoice in the truth of God manifest in the flesh. Our prayer is that you may know God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift. Now, with God's word for today, here is Dr. Cairns.
There's a glory and there's a beauty. There's a majesty in this purpose, that I may not sin against God. But of course, the psalmist recognized something, that simply saying, "Well, I'm going to do that, I want to do that," without making the needed preparation, is absolutely useless. So he made a necessary preparation. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Now, what does that mean? One great commentator said it, he not only heard it and read it, but he received it into his affections. Notice the parts here, into his affections. Mixed it with faith. Laid it up in his mind and memory for future use. Preserved it in his heart as a choice treasure, where it might dwell richly and be of service to him on many occasions. Do you notice when the devil came to the Lord Jesus, he didn't need to say, hold on, Satan, till I find the place in my Bible? No. Immediately, he knew the precise scripture to use for the precise situation in which he was found. Now, I know that he is God manifested in the flesh, and as God the Savior, therefore, is omniscient. But he was also truly man. And I read that he grew in knowledge. In other words, as a little boy, the Savior was a student of God's Word. He hid it in his heart. This is what the psalmist is saying. I have hidden God's word in my heart. Not I'm going to hide it. If you haven't started, then start it. But he says, I have hidden thy word in my heart. What does that mean, in the heart? Well, remember what the psalmist said, my heart is indicting a good matter. Now, what does the word indicting mean? It means it's boiling over. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart's bubbling over. It's boiling up. When Paul said, let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, dwell in you richly, this is what he meant. Not just read it. Well, I have a chapter to read today. Hope it's a short one. Let it dwell in you richly. I would need to have another hour. Time is gone. I was told last Sunday morning I preached for a long time and I didn't realize it. And before I know it, I'll be back there. So I better get ready to quit. But I'm going to tell you what is wrong with most of our lives and what's wrong with most of our homes. I'm not being critical. If you don't know the problem, you can't get the answer. But I'm going to tell you why many Christians are living in defeat, why many Christians are living in absolute despair and misery, why their life is an empty shell. There's no secret about it. That book is an almost entirely neglected book. Oh, now there are Christians who read it. How many Christians do you know actually study the Bible? Study the Bible. Now you tell me, how many do you know who actually study God's Word? I don't know how to study. Don't tell me that. You know how to study. You study geology, geometry, whatever all these things are you study at school. You study them all. You can't study God's Word? No, don't tell me that. And furthermore, there's no book has more helps provided to enable you to study. We have given out hundreds of our little Bible study leaflets you keep in your Bible. You just do it every day and you'll be studying God's Word. But I'll tell you what's wrong. We're all so busy. Now, we treat this as if this were something so modern. It's not. It's not. You can be so busy that you have no time for the Word of God. If that's the case, then you're just too busy. And it's time to reevaluate. People are running around like headless chickens. Do you ever see a headless chicken? Do you ever see a chicken wants to cut the head off? Man, that thing's going round and round and round. It has speed and energy like you never saw. Of course, it's dead. It's only all muscular, but it's going nowhere. It's doing nothing. It's all to no avail. That's the way Christians are living their lives, like headless chickens. To what effect? I learned, this is a man I've mentioned from this pulpit with thankfulness on various occasions. I learned a lot from an elder in our church in Mount Marion. He was just a very ordinary man. He was not a perfect man. He was not a paragon of all the virtues, but he was a good and godly man. Converted drunkard. Man of the world, and God saved him. And became for me like a second father and a very beloved friend. As I said, Jimmy was just an ordinary fellow. His first job was he drove a huge gas delivery tanker. When the roads were icy and nobody else could take it up to that place that I mentioned, Rathfriland on the hill, and the hospitals needed it, he was the one who could do it, even at the risk of life and limb. Good man. He ran a second job running a little sort of a pig farm business, fattening pigs and selling them, mostly to keep the doors of a church going open. We have a thriving work there today. I wonder how many know the price that he paid. Jimmy worked long hours. His job was an arduous job. His home was like a second home to me and to my friends. We didn't need an appointment. We could go there any day, any night, any time. And we were always welcome. Why I say I owe him so much. I remember many a time we would go and Anne, his wife, would say, Jimmy's got home, but we would know Jimmy was up the stairs. He'd been on the go from early morning. He'd sought the Lord for that day, but when Jimmy got home before anything else, didn't matter who was coming to see him or what, I have an appointment with the King of Kings. I have an appointment at the throne of grace. And Jimmy would take that Bible and he would go get alone with God. And you could have been the King of England or the Queen of England, unless it was life and death, you would wait till the King of Glory had finished with him. He studied this book. Jimmy had left school when he was 14 years old. He had no particular education, though never, never, never be so stupid as to think that people who leave school and don't have the education don't have brains. He had more brains in his big toe than many a person with degrees and has in his head. And he had enough brains to get before God and study that book. Now that's what's wrong with us. You know, one of the things that really is distressing, we have got to the place where everything in life has to be, quote, fun. Fun. Where does the Bible teach that? How did we ever get into that mentality? There's a vast difference between pleasure and fun. I can think of the greatest pleasures I have ever known, the highest and most exalted moods I have ever felt had nothing to do with fun, and that everything to do with getting through to God, meeting with Him and learning from His Word. When I was a young fellow and we had our Christian Endeavor, as we called our young people's movement, did we have fun? Yes, we did. We enjoyed each other's company. Came a time when we'd go out and we'd have our little soccer team. We'd kick soccer ball, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, we could have fun. The school I went to, rugby was the game. It's still the world's greatest game. I was never particularly great at it, but I loved to play it. Second greatest game was cricket. I loved to play it too. Not particularly good, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, we had fun. But you know, when we met together as young Christians, it wasn't for fun. Before we went to that meeting, the demands of what we were doing demanded we be studying that book. And we were studying, and we were coming then to be taught more. We were learning the things of God. It took time. It took time. And that's the thing that so many people are not willing to give. Psalmist says, I've hidden your word in my heart. You can't do that if you're not taking time with the Bible. You cannot do it. Your 5 minutes glancing over the Bible where you read and you forget what you've read, you're like the man that James talks about. You look in the mirror, you don't like what you see, so you forget about it. You come to the Bible, and it's in one eye and out the other side of your head, and you've forgotten it. Listen, that's not how to hide the word in your heart. Brothers and sisters, there's no difficulty in understanding the problem. It's getting to the root of it now and making the preparation. If you will prepare, this Bible will keep you from being deceived. You'll know which scripture to use when the devil comes. You'll know exactly where to turn to. That's a big, big thing. You will know precisely where to go. And when you get on your knees, to be able to lift that up before God. You remember Elisha was able to warn the king of Israel, Syria is going to attack here and here. And the king of Syria says, who's the traitor? No, no. Elisha's telling them what you're doing in your bedchamber. That's what the word of God will do. It will forewarn you. So you'll be kept from being deceived. And you'll be forewarned. Remember what Isaiah said of the farmer and sowing his seed? It's just as true of the Christian. His God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Isaiah 28:26. His God doth instruct him to discretion. And it'll forearm you. Listen to the book of Proverbs. When wisdom, chapter 2, 10 and 11, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, listen, here's the promise. Discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I close with the words of a heathen. He was a Stoic philosopher in the city of Rome. And his name was Seneca. And this is what he said. I am too great and born to greater things than that I should be a slave to my body. Now that's said by a Stoic, but I want you to lift it up to the level of Christianity. Born of the Spirit, I am too great. Born to greater things than that I should be a slave to sin and to Satan, to the flesh and to the devices of the devil. I'm in Christ. I'm inhabited by the Spirit of God. God has set before me the purpose of His eternal glory, and He's given me in this book the way of victory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.